The headlines about Syria are altering the shape of financial markets this morning.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. As we've been hearing, the Obama administration is warning about accountability for Syria's government after a reported chemical weapons attack outside the Syrian capital last week. This could set the stage for possible military action against Syria by the U.S. and allies, and financial markets today are adjusting. Investors have been buying U.S. dollars as a kind of safe haven, and there's oil up to just under $107 a barrel in Europe and $112 for the U.S. benchmark, near a five-month high. Julian Lee watches the oil market at the Center for Global Energy Studies in London. Good morning.
Good morning.
To what extent is Syria the story behind this spike in oil prices?
I certainly think that the worsening situation in Syria and the growing concern over allegations of chemical weapons attacks are having an impact on the price at the moment. But I don't think that's the only story. Syria is not a big oil producer. In fact, right at this very moment, it's producing virtually nothing. But I think what is of concern is that any time we get news headlines about rising tension anywhere in the Middle East, the market tends to fear that other countries with much more significant production will get sucked in.
And it just shows you the disconnect between long and medium-term oil supplies and what we've just been speaking about, the more short-term concerns. A lot of headlines in the United States about domestic U.S. fossil fuel production going up and America's oil independence. But that doesn't help you this week, this month, or the next 6 months.
No, it doesn't. Oil prices are still very much influenced by the geopolitics of the Middle East. One can look, of course, on the futures exchanges where you can buy oil for delivery 5, 6, 7 years into the future, and you can see that those prices are heavily discounted because people are concerned about the potential for supply disruption, not 5 or 6 years into the future, but 2 or 3 months into the future.
Julian Lee, Center for Global Energy Studies in London, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Now let's check stock markets. The FT 100 index in London is back from its bank holiday Monday, and it's down 0.7%. The DAX in Germany is down 1.3%. The Nikkei in Japan fell 0.7%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down at the moment. San Francisco Bay Area Rapid Transit, BART to its friends, is deep in contract negotiations with workers. One of the touchiest issues is salary. BART workers are some of the best paid transit workers in the country, workers who live in one of the country's most expensive regions, of course. But with all the talk about what these folks should make, there's little talk about what they actually do. From the Marketplace Wealth and Poverty Desk, Chrissy Clark spent a day with one BART worker, a janitor named Sharina Pearson.
When I visited Sharina Pearson recently at the BART station where she works east of San Francisco, she was downstairs in the men's room for the fourth time that day, replenishing toilet paper, flushing unflushed toilets.
Sometimes you just don't get the flush.
Next stop, back up to the train platforms to sweep, scrape off pigeon poop, and dodge passengers on the escalator to pick up trash, and then do that all over again.
A lot of what I do, Chrissy, is repetition.
This all earns her about $52,000 a year. She says that affords a decent life for her and her four kids, including the mortgage on their three-bedroom house in a way outer suburb. Pearson knows she's lucky to have what is a rare thing in America these days, a middle-class job that does not require a college degree. But she's also aware of the critics who think her job is pretty cush. One of those critics is her 10-year-old son, Malachi.
I saw her clean the bathrooms. It looked kind of easy.
Easy, huh? I probably made it look easy.
Pearson would be the first to agree her job isn't as stimulating as many of those who pass her by at the BART station on their commutes to work. But she says her job takes focus and problem solving and a strong stomach. If you don't have one of those, you might want to turn the radio down for a moment now, because back on the train platform, Pearson is about to show me something.
That's where the hot lunch was right there.
A hot lunch is BART lingo for a bodily fluid that needs immediate cleanup. Today, she had to deal with one as soon as she got to work. I inadvertently made a face.
It is what it is. That's what I get paid to do.
Pearson's had this job for 6 years, but she sees it as just one step in her journey.
There's so many other things that I believe that I've been called to do.
Pearson wants to finish college in business administration, and then there's her passion, songwriting. So how can I not ask her to sing me something she wrote?
I could.
And there by the escalator, in her blue BART uniform, she breaks into song.
Let me tell you about a friend of mine, says she wanna be happy.
And the passengers walking by do double takes. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.
Nowhere around.
And like the Smashing Pumpkins song I heard on the way in this morning, the 90s are coming back in a variety of ways. Another example, credit card companies are back to that roaring 90s practice of offering no-interest credit cards if you switch to a new card. No interest for a while. I promise you there'll be interest if you have a balance on the card when the teaser period is over. The Wall Street Journal reports that the solicitations are headed to your mailbox as we speak, but this isn't charity here, so watch out for the 3% fee to transfer that balance. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.